Hey, as that offering's going to be taken, I'm going to have you take your Bibles and turn to the book of Romans, chapter 12, as we continue our series, which I've kind of entitled, What Kind of Church Would My Church Be If Everyone in My Church Were... Okay, you know by now you should know this by heart, okay? So say it with me. What kind of church would my church be if everyone in my church were just like me? We are working our way through Romans, but when we got to Romans chapter 9, or chapter 12 and verse 9, we discovered that there is a list of characteristics that the Apostle Paul wanted in the lives of believers. He starts off that chapter in 12 and saying that we need to be transformed by the renewing of our mind. That renewing of our mind takes place from the scriptures that you just heard about. But the results of that are a list of things that he desires in our lives, starting at verse 9 through the rest of the chapter. We looked at two of those already, and I told you I was going to slow down as we went through this section because I think these are our key characteristics for us as a church. If our church had these characteristics, there's no limit to what God could do in and through our lives. And so we come to verse 10. But I want to review real quickly here, chapter 9. It said in chapter 9, verse 9, it says that we are to let love be without hypocrisy. We talked about the importance of love, caring for one another, again, I think you as a church truly love one another, and you show that in many different ways. But then last week we saw that we're to abhor evil, we're to cling to good, and we said there's two ways to accomplish that. One is the Gideons give them out. What is it? God's Word, right. We're not going to know what is good and what is evil if we don't have the Word of God in our lives. And then I said the second means of accomplishing that is, and I gave you the acronym GINNY, which stands for what? God, I need you. Okay. How many have their strings on? Raise your hand. Okay, if you got, good for you. Some of you, I was told they broke off, or you're just not as clean as I am, or whatever the reasons. You may not have them. But the question is, as you sought to live for God, did you pray, God, I need you? Because doing good is impossible without the Lord in our lives. I hope you've been working at that. Now, today, we're at verse 10, and before I do that, I'm gonna put a name to the songs that we just sang today. Josh referred to the fact that he had heard of some difficulties, and I'm going to put a couple names, three names to those that I know about. Maybe there's more that I'm not aware of, but I want you to be praying for Tyler Decker. He's with us today, but I want you to be praying for him and Lois Craddock as well. They have similar issues, and they're going to the doctors this week. One on Monday, Tyler on Monday, Lois on Tuesday, so be praying for them. I want you to pray also for Gerald, Jerry Sowell. He had 5 bypasses on his heart this past week. Still in the hospital. He needs to gain his strength, but doing good. He looks good and doing good, so continue to pray for him. We're just going to take a break before we jump into verse 10 here and pray for them. Let's pray. Lord, I just thank you again for the idea the truth that you are always with us, that our peace doesn't come from our situations in life, it comes from you. And you promise never to leave us or forsake us. And so we just pray that your presence might be especially known this week for Tyler and Lois as they go to the doctor and have some tests run. I just pray that you might go before and just give the doctors wisdom, and we pray everything would work out fine in those situations. And we just thank you for what you've done in Jerry's life and getting him to the hospital when he had the minor heart attack there, And now to have the bypass surgery done, Lord, and his recovery, we just commit that to you. Just continue to be with those that are going through struggles today. There's probably others that I'm not aware of here in the congregation, and we just put them in your hands as well. We just thank you and praise you in Jesus' name. Amen. So what kind of church would my church be if everyone in my church, verse 10, was kindly affectionate to one another with brotherly love and honor, giving preference to one another? What kind of church would my church be if we had such a genuine love? Now, the word love there is Philadelphia, which is a brotherly love. It's not talking about a romantic love or anything like that, but it's a genuine caring from our heart for another individual, so much so that we put them, or we prefer them, ahead of ourselves. What kind of church would my church be if we cared more about others and we preferred others above ourselves? Well, I read a story today. It's about four individuals. And these four friends were gathered together. They were talking, and they were younger, college age, and they were trying to figure out what they were going to do for the rest of their lives and what their goals were. And they began to ask each other, and one of them said, "My goal is I want to be a congressman so I can draft laws to benefit my countrymen." The second one said, that's kind of the same purpose that I have, but I want to be a lawyer so that I can defend my countrymen. And the third one said, "This is ironic because, again, that same purpose as I have, but I want to be a doctor so that I can cure my countrymen." And they all turned to the fourth one, and with anticipation, they said, "What is it that you want to be?" And he said, "I just want to be a countryman." You know, it seems like much of our lives and our society kind of focuses around ourselves a lot of times. And it's really hard for us to begin to focus outwardly towards others, and even harder that when we do focus outwardly, that we put others ahead of ourselves. This is such an important area because it affects every piece of society if we were to do this. Your homes, your marriages would be so much better if you preferred your spouse over yourself. Your teaching of your children in your home. This was a priority in our home with our five kids. Our goal was to teach them to prefer others. I'm going to give you one quick example of that. You serve dessert. You know how that goes, and you cut the cake, and you have the pieces sitting out there, and it's time to come up and get the pieces. Now, if you prefer the other over yourself, then you don't take the biggest one or the one with the most frosting, right? Now, you want to. That desire's there. But we taught our kids not to do that. It backfired a little bit on us. Because you know what? They were so preferring of others that they would say, "You go first." Isn't that nice of them? They learned their lesson. It's like, no, I'll go last. Do you know why they wanted to go last? The biggest piece was going to be the last one. That's absolutely right. So you got to be careful if you're trying to work on this with your kids. So our homes would be better. What about the workplace? What would the workplace be like if everyone in the workplace had a genuine affection for the other employees in that workplace, so much so that they would prefer them over themselves? Would there be this struggle to get the credit for everything? Would you mind if somebody else got the credit if you were doing that? What would our government be like if the Democrats preferred the Republicans, or the Republicans preferred the Democrats, or you list whatever else you want? That's a hopeless cause. But anyway, what would our world be like if we began to apply this one principle? What would our church be like if we applied this one principle? So I'm going to ask you a few questions today. I'm actually asking the text a few questions. The first question is, what does it mean to prefer others. What does it mean to put others first? And before you're reading that, quit reading that, look at me. I want to tell you what it doesn't mean. Preferring others doesn't mean that as a pastor, I say, you know, I feel that God's given me this gift to teach, but you know, I'm going to prefer others, and I'm going to put somebody who hates being up in front of people, I'm going to consider them more important than me, and I'm going to let them preach this Sunday. Now, is that what he means by preferring others? Putting others... No! It doesn't mean that we ignore the way God's gifted us. What it does mean is that the verse is telling us that we need to be lowly or humble in heart and in mind. That means we are abasing and humbling oneself in preference for others. It means putting their interests, their cares, their comforts ahead of our fellow men, ahead of ourselves, their comforts of our fellow men above our own. It's forgetting ourselves in sacrifice and service. It means that we're going to be willing to go without if it would benefit somebody else. My dad, to me, in a lot of ways, did that with us growing up. You know, we would have a chicken, and that was back before you didn't usually go to the grocery store and buy like legs and thighs or buy the breast. You would always buy the chicken, and so wives had to know how to cut them, or somebody had to know how to chop them up and everything else. To this day, I don't know how, but anyway, so you would have the whole chicken cut up on the plate. Now, my sister and I liked the legs or the thighs, because we kind of like dark meat. And so we would get the legs and the thighs. And my mom and dad would always eat the breast. Usually my dad would get one of the breasts, and he would eat that. And I this was just every time we ate chicken. That's the way it was. I remember later in life, one time, I believe I was serving it at that point, and I said, you know, Dad, he'd want a breast, wouldn't he? Because he likes breasts. You know what my mom said? He doesn't like breasts that well. What? He always ate breasts. What do you mean? He likes legs and thighs. He never ate legs and thighs. And I didn't know that as a child. My dad, if you watch him when he's here, you watch him when he's at our house, it doesn't matter whose home he's at. He's always the last one in line. And what's his saying when you try to get him to go ahead? He says, yeah, and it's not going to change. And this is my home now. And I said, no, I want you to go. Always last, always will be. That's just the way my dad is. It's not because he feels less of himself. It's because he wants others to be preferred above himself. That's what the idea is behind this word. It's the idea of giving, of putting others ahead of ourselves. That is not society today, but that is Christianity. That is what God has called us to. Another question that comes to my mind when I'm thinking of this passage is why is it important? And I already told you that it affects every area of our society. But you know, there are passages of Scripture that tell us that this is such an important area. If you're not humble, if you're not preferring others, then you're not going to succeed in these areas. And one of those areas is godly leaders within the church. One of the requirements that God had, or Paul had, for Timothy was that he would be humble, that he would prefer others. Philippians 2 is the hallmark of humility chapter, but it's referring to Jesus Christ, who humbled himself, left heaven as our Savior to die on the cross for us. He did that all for you. He preferred you over himself in order to accomplish that. And the first two, verses 3 and 4 says, let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus. So it's a command for us to do the same. But then towards the end of the chapter, in verses 19 and 22, Paul says this to Timothy. He says, but I trust in the Lord Jesus. He actually said it to the Philippians about Timothy. But I trust in the Lord Jesus to send Timothy to you shortly. Why did he want to send Timothy to them? That I also may be encouraged when I know your state, for I have no one like-minded, talking about Timothy, who will sincerely care for your sake, for all seek their own, not the things which are of Christ Jesus, but you know his proven character, that as a son with his father, he served with me in the gospel. I'm going to send Timothy to you, and the reason that I am sending him to you is that he sincerely cares for you. That's the requirement for serving. That's a requirement for godly leaders. Second reason it's so important is that it's required to be a good husband. Do you know that we went to a wedding yesterday, and the pastor that was sharing, which was actually the father of the son that was getting married, he began by talking to the bride, and he says, you know, the Bible says that you need to submit to your husband. And he said, that's not an easy thing, and it's not a popular thing in our day, but that's what the Bible says. And then he turned to his son, and he said, and the Bible says that you're to love your wife as Christ loved the church. And sometimes you might think, well, that's the easy thing to love, you know. But then he said this to his son. He says, and what did Christ do for the church? And his son said, he died. He says, okay, so your job is to submit, your job is to die. That's putting others first, right? And that's the idea here. If you're going to be a good husband, then you need to be willing to give to your family and put them first in every area of your life. It's also important because it's the means of receiving grace. God resists the proud, but he gives grace to the humble. You want strength, that's what grace is, the ability to will and do God's will. That's the grace of God in your life. That's a power that he gives to us. If you want that power, then it comes by having this characteristic, by humbling yourself and putting others before yourself. Another question, who is to be preferred? Well, in this passage, I think it's obvious, but I'm going to give you some things that you probably thought about, and I'm going to give them to you really quick here. God, first of all. We're to prefer God above ourselves. Anyone in authority, the Bible tells us, is to be preferred before ourselves. That may be rulers. He talks about masters, slaves submitting to their masters, or your boss in that situation. Your parents, kids, your parents, your church leaders. Yeah, anyone in authority over us, we're to put them ahead of ourselves. And if I left any out, there is Romans 12:10 here again that says, really, it doesn't clarify it other than that you're to do it for everyone. We're to be putting everyone ahead of ourselves. So last question then, and probably the most important one, how? How is it that we in our Christian lives can accomplish this, that we can do the impossible? Obviously, we need God's strength again, the Jenny part of it. God, I need you. It needs to be part of our prayer in this. But there's also a few other areas that I'm going to just pick on real quick here. We need to yield the pick or our best choice to others. Do you remember Abraham and Lot? I got a biblical example in all of these action steps here, but do you remember when the two of them begin to grow, and their workers begin to grow, and their flocks begin to grow, and they begin to walk over each other's territory, and pretty soon the workers were fighting amongst themselves, and Abraham went to Lot and said, this isn't going to work out. We have to separate. We have to split up. Now remember, Abraham was the uncle in this situation. Abraham was the older one. Lot was the tag-along. Lot was the one who followed him. God had called Abraham. Lot just tagged along. And so they have to split. And you know what Abraham, the patriarch, the one who should have had the choice, does? He says, Lot, look around. You go one way, I'll go the other. You just choose first. And so Lot chose the best. The well-watered plains of Sodom and Gomorrah. God was watching out for Abraham, wasn't he? But Abraham was preferring his nephew over himself. He was willing to do that. Another way that we can prefer is by yielding the prestige. Remember the disciples arguing over who was the greatest? And in the midst of that argument, what does Jesus do? He gets a towel, he gets a pail of water, and he begins washing the disciples' feet. You know, how many jobs at home would you just soon give to somebody else? It's terrible being the rookie in anything, isn't it? Or if it's a work day at church, what are they called? The gophers. You go for this and you go for that. Can I point out somebody, and just they don't know I'm doing this and I don't care. Chris Newman. Where is he? Yep, he's shying down and hiding up there. Let me tell you about Chris. Chris never gets any credit for anything. The only time you would know what Chris is doing on a Sunday morning is when it goes wrong. Think about it. If everything goes right, he did his job perfectly. Nobody knew he was there. The screen changed. Everything. But when my clicker doesn't work, what do I do? There's a laser pointer on this. I just point it. No. Chris, you know, you're doing it wrong again. And so the only time he ever gets attention is when he does something wrong. Chris also, I don't think he's missed a work day in years at this church. Chris is usually the gopher. I wouldn't want to be Chris. You know, if there's something that we don't want to do, guess who usually does that? And he still comes back for more. What's wrong with that kid? You know, he just gives and gives and gives. One day, Ruth, and I don't even remember what it was, she was unloading something on the far side of the church foyer there. Do you remember what it was? What was it? The tent for the teachers. It was they had the teachers that one morning come by with the bus, and they hauled out tables and tents and everything else. And Ruth, school hadn't started yet, so she jotted a text to Chris and said, you know, I've got all this heavy stuff. I was gone. Got all this heavy stuff to move in. Could you give me just a few minutes to help me get it inside the foyer? And, you know, she hardly sent it off, and she started taking some things around. And guess who comes out of the house? Chris. And she knew he would. She knew that whenever we send out little pleas like that, that it's usually Chris that comes. And so she said, oh, Chris, thanks for getting my text. And he goes, what? He pulled out his phone. You text me? Do you know what he did? He just saw that she needed help. And he came over. Okay, I'm done talking about you, Chris. He gets no prestige for that other than today. None. Now, he's not unique in this church. We have individuals, and I don't have time, but we have individuals that clean every week, and you get no prestige at all for scrubbing the toilets in this church. But you do it anyway. That is what this is talking about. It's putting others ahead of ourselves. It's real easy for those of us that are up front and you see every morning or see every Sunday morning what we're doing, and it's easy to say good job and all that other, but none of this could take place if the others weren't doing it, and they get zero prestige in what they do. Thank you. Praise. Yielding praise, giving glory to God and to those that do things, and not expecting it yourself. Do you remember John the Baptist? He was out busy baptizing, and his John's disciples come to him and said, hey, this Jesus, do you realize more people are going to see him now than us? He's great. He's getting these huge crowds, and look, nobody cares about us anymore. Do you remember what John said? He must increase, and I must decrease? Put that in the workplace and see how that fits. How would you feel if the person who doesn't work as hard as you, who doesn't care, isn't there as often as you are, gets paid more and gets promotions, and you don't? Been there, done that, don't like that. But that's the idea behind here, is that we're preferring others. We're putting them ahead of ourselves. So What's the job, church? If everyone in my church honored and preferred and had brotherly affection for others just like me, what kind of church would my church be? But don't leave it here, because this applies to every other area of our lives as well. Are we willing to be what God desires us to be? Can't do it on your own, though. God, I need you in this one as well. Let's pray. Lord, we just thank you and praise you again for all that you teach us and show us. Lord, you truly are the example in all these characteristics, and I thank you for Christ who was willing to humble himself, become obedient to the point of death, all for us, to put us first. We thank you. Help us to apply that this week. We pray it in Jesus' name.